The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Out in the streets, people trying to raise money for Make-A-Wish Ireland. We're trying to raise money here in studio as well. We have been setting challenges. Challenges have been set for us. You might have seen Ciara Kelly or heard Ciara Kelly with a snake draped around her shoulders on News Talk Breakfast earlier this morning. A challenge is duly set to me as well. I'm going to reveal all in a few minutes' time, but I think we need to remind ourselves exactly why we are here trying to raise money. And again, I'm going to keep saying it, makeawish.ie/donate is the website. But joining me in studio is Gavin Norris and his son, Cian, who had his wish granted by Make-A-Wish. You're both very, very welcome. And thanks a million for coming in, both of you. Gavin, before we chat about the wish itself, do you want to tell me a little bit about Cian's journey with his health?
Yeah, of course. So Cian was born normal, like had a normal childhood. And then a couple of months before his fourth birthday, we just brought him to hospital with what we thought was a vomiting bug and a bit of a temperature. That quickly escalated into a problem with his liver, which then snowballed into, no, it's actually his heart. There's fluid around his heart. We need to do more tests. So we had about 2 or 3 weeks then of fairly invasive testing under general anaesthetic, that whole stuff. And the diagnosis was heart failure, very rare heart failure called restrictive cardiomyopathy. And we were told the only chance of survival for Cian would be a transplant in the next year or two, and that's all he had. So obviously the pool of donations is between the UK and Ireland. So Great Ormond Street do the operations. And because it was so rare, they wanted to run the same barrage of tests. So we had to go up to London for a couple of weeks and they confirmed the diagnosis and placed Cian on the transplant list.
And did you ever get a reason as to what caused the what was it, restrictive cardiomyopathy? Or is it something he's born with, you just don't realise?
Yeah, no, something very rare. He'd done genetic testing and all that, but there's no diagnosis for what caused it. It's extremely rare illness.
So the testing went ahead then here, and then the testing in Great Ormond Street, and what happens? He gets put on a transplant list, is
it? Yeah, so at the time, there was probably about 3 to 4 children getting transplanted a year, and there was over 100 kids waiting for a transplant with heart failure. So it was pretty grim, and we were told 2 years. So Cian made it to 3 years, but he was very, very, very ill at that stage. You knew it was a matter of months, let's say. And then the pandemic happened, and all the adult hospitals stopped doing anything but COVID wards, and the pool of donations went to paediatrics. Great Ormond Street kept going, so he saw children weren't being affected. Cian, I got a phone call from Cian CNS Helene. One, I think it was Friday afternoon, she said, look, the ambulance is on the way. Great Ormond Street have an offer. I'm going to hang up now and ring you back in the ambulance, and they'll want you to accept the offer. So they did. We did. So the ambulance took us straight to Baldonnell Airport. The Air Corps had the airplane on the tarmac ready to go, straight on the airplane, flown into an army base in London. And then we were taken by ambulance to Great Ormond Street, and he was in for surgery pretty much straight away. Heart transplants, there's kind of a 4-hour window for viability. So for 3 years, you're sitting there with your phone fully charged, always on loud. You're not allowed 50 kilometers away from the airport, just in case you get the phone call. And then all of a sudden, you're on, and you're into surgery.
How soon was it from when you got the phone call from the CNS to the point that you're in the hospital in London? How quick was that?
I felt like 2 minutes, but I think it was obviously the trip to the airport was probably 15 minutes by ambulance, 10 minutes because they're flying with the blue lights.
Yeah.
And you're into the plane, you're up, you're down, ambulance straight into the hospital, and they're just prepping him, Cian, and he's in for surgery. Like this hopefully life-saving surgery.
And Cian, do you mind me asking, at this stage you were close to 7 years old, was it?
Or maybe six.
Okay.
Six for a transplant, yeah.
And how much do you remember actually about all of this? Do you remember when?
Not very much actually.
Yeah, because you were very young. You were still only 3, obviously, nearly diagnosis, 4, but 3 when you got the diagnosis. So you don't remember an awful lot about it, do you?
No.
And do you remember that part of the journey though? The day that you got the phone call and you had to rush out of the house?
Only a bit of it.
Maybe it's a good thing that he only remembers a bit of it. I'd say you remember it, Gavin.
Yeah.
Never forget it.
Yeah, it's like your reality completely changes. Like you've gone from desperation to, oh God, here we go.
Yeah.
So the surgery went ahead, but as Keane was so ill, his body had changed and he had this, let's say, brand new heart from the donor. So there was a mismatch, let's say. So he was very ill for a couple of weeks in hospital. He had bleeds on his brains, his organs failed.
That was the body rejecting the heart, was it?
It was just his circulatory system had changed because of how weak his heart had become from failure. And now he had this big pump trying to get through these narrowed vessels.
Everything had kind of started to compensate for the weak heart. I see, okay.
So he had to readjust. And the heart itself didn't start beating. The heart normally takes over its own rhythm. His didn't. It's 5% of cases. So he had to have open heart surgery again to have a permanent pacemaker installed. They spent, I'd say, the next month pretty much fighting for his life. And then he slowly started to come out of that. Then a couple of months in Great Ormond Street, then the Air Corps flew us back to Ireland, got out of hospital, started doing a bit of school. Then he had a routine biopsy that pinged rejection. So his body was rejecting the donor heart. He had some immunotherapy for that. Then say another 6 months later, trying to get him, like he couldn't walk at that stage. He'd been in hospital so long, relearning to walk, relearning everything.
Yeah.
And then he started getting these tummy pains. And they're just coming and going. We're in and out of hospital, couldn't get a diagnosis. About 3 months went by and we were doing some sort of gastro testing and his bowel had an intussusception. So part of his bowel went inside his bowel and blocked.
Okay.
And he had to have emergency surgery to save his life effectively. And that left him with a stoma. And the surgeon could tell straight away this bowel is diseased. They seen that there was polyps and cancer throughout the wall of his bowel. So his entire bowels were full of cancer in his liver and his spleen as well. So you just kind of get over the transplant and then you hit what's called post-transplant lymphoma. So it's a very rare side effect that can happen.
I was going to ask, this wasn't coincidence. It was related to the transplant, but a very rare consequence.
They hadn't seen it in the cardiac kids before. So Keane was kind of a first. So that's why no one expected it to be that.
Yeah, okay. So they weren't necessarily looking out for it
because
of that.
There's a million and one complications for heart transplant. It's not a cure as such.
Yeah.
So, and that's brought us on a journey then to St. John's Ward. So as it was so well progressed, the cancer, it was a really tough time. Like Keane was in an awful lot of pain, couldn't eat. Like the child was 7 years of age. And I think at the lowest, he got down to about 16 kilograms. It was just skin and bones. But eventually the chemo started to work. They hit him with much higher doses to get it to get going. And that took its toll on his body. But then after about a year, he had his last round of chemo in February 2022.
Great.
And then since then, he's kind of pushed on. He had his stoma reversed then a year later, and he's pretty much, he's doubled in height and strength, and he's like, people don't recognise him back then.
And what was it like, Gavin, for the rest of you dealing with that? You know, with any point in that journey would be life defining really for most families, you know, to get the initial diagnosis, the time on the transplant list, the experience of going to Great Ormond Street and all of the hope, the difficulties afterwards with the heart, and then you get kind of a cancer diagnosis. It's just this roller coaster.
It's literally getting kicked when you're down, like this. You think you're over the top of the hill and then you see the next peak, and it's just constant. But as a parent, you're always going to try and fight for your child to survive. And that's the way it was. The first diagnosis of transplant, of the heart failure, took me about 2 weeks kind of to get over the shock. And I was like, okay, how can I help Keane? And what can I do to make sure he survives? And that's kind of the approach of taking with everything. It's like, okay, give me the facts. Tell me, how can we make Keane better, or how can we help him? And that's all you can do. Because at the end of the day, he's his own person. Like, you want him to make sure he's got the best chance as well.
Yeah. And how much during all of it are you trying to shield Keane from the worst of it? And I'm conscious as well of the age, Keane, that you are in it. You're only three when it starts. So a three-year-old, you're not going to sit down and explain in great detail what's happening. No. But it's a big, important period of your life from three through to your 11 now, is it?
Yeah.
So say 10 when he gets his last chemo session. So that kind of 6-7 year period, you do a lot of growing up.
Yeah.
And the conversation you probably have with him when he's 10 is very different from the one you had when he was 3, nearly 4.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, in Crumlin, they describe it as, you know, your shiny new heart. That's how they describe it. Like, you're unwell because your heart's unwell. And you'll get this shiny new heart and you'll feel better. And that's how it's described to a child.
Yeah.
And through all of it, we've had access to psychologists. Like Catherine, his psychologist in Crumlin, has been amazing with Keane. And she's followed him throughout his journey. So every step, there's different questions at different ages. And what does it mean? And I'm sure as he becomes a teenager, he'll have even different, more questions that are more challenging.
Yeah.
So he'll always have that side of it. But we do have the supports in the hospital and through other charities that we use as well. So we've been very fortunate with the team in Crumlin. And even a school, Bishop Gavin's, they've got SNAs, they've got extra classes, they've taken him out for breaks that he's needed. They've reincorporated him back into the school slowly.
Yeah.
So they've been really fantastic. We've had a huge support network to help us as well, like, and to help Keane develop into have a normal child,
yeah,
have a better quality of life.
So you mentioned charity, so let's talk about Make-A-Wish then. So when did they come on the radar?
he's laughing. We came on the radar because we were going up to County Down and the car broke down and right. And the tow truck driver picked us up and we got chatting in the cab to him and he said he had cancer as a child and had I ever heard of Make-A-Wish? And I said, no, I thought that was for children, like their last wish sort of thing. He said, no, I had cancer when I was a teenager and they sent me to New York for a summer and it was the best thing I ever did and dropped us off, shouting out the window, make sure you call Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
So I did. I dropped them an email, Keane qualified for the wish. And then they send you out a booklet to, you know, understand what your child's about, what you like.
Yeah.
And what's your wish? And to give Keane an open-ended question like that's very difficult.
So what did you wish for in the end, Keane?
To meet Shane Lowry.
To meet Shane Lowry. So a big Shane Lowry fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the wish came true.
Yeah, it did.
What was it like meeting Shane Lowry?
Great. I love pudding, so pudding with him was fun.
Pudding is a good thing to love. Most kids your age, they love driving the ball. But I mean, what did they say? Drive for show, putt for dough. Mm-hmm. So good to be a good putter. And where did you meet him? When did it happen?
In Royal County Down at the Irish Open.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And he's a nice guy?
Yeah, he's lovely.
Lovely fella, yeah. So this was a big, big moment for all of you, was it? That kind of, even just to see Keane get to do all of this.
It's fantastic. Like, that's why this charity is so important for Keane. They haven't had a proper childhood. Like, you're anticipating this event where you're anticipating a surgery or something terrible. You have this magical day with sports star and even to see Keane, like, Shane Lowry picked up his bag to walk him over. He said, I'll be your caddy today, Keane. He's walking over to the putting green and Keane's walking along with Shane and the TV cameras are off all of them. I'm just standing there looking at my son, you know, walking over with the crowd, watching him put. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, because especially at the Irish Open, Lowry along with Tim McIlroy or whoever, they're going to have all the attention on them. Seamus Power, these guys, you know, much more than other golfers. So you were the centre of attention that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Brilliant. And a year ago, 12 months ago, thereabouts, was the end of the chemo, the final session. So going on, is that everything dealt with? Will there be continuing complications or do you know that?
Well, obviously cancer can reoccur. So that's something they monitor for. Heart transplant's not a cure. It's a therapy. So we've traded one chronic illness for, let's say, another. So Keane is monitored on a quarterly basis. He takes bloods quite regularly. Like this morning, we're in the hospital doing bloods to keep an eye on things because we have to make sure he's got enough immunosuppression in the system to stop rejection. But then you're too much, you push the cancer side of things. So it's a real balancing act. So you're always wary. Like if Keane sneezes, you're on edge almost. Like that's how life is with a child who's that complicated.
Yeah.
But for Keane, he just gets on with it. Like he's in school, he's playing golf with his pals, he starts to hang around together and go to shops and that sort of stuff. So it's just seeing him be a normal child and have all that normal stuff going on. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. And Make-A-Wish as well. Like on the day, it must have been great to just be thinking about something other than heart failures and heart transplants and cancer and chemo and everything else.
Yeah, I think you'll never forget that day, will you?
No, I won't.
I think Make-A-Wish is just so important that it replaces these horrible memories with something he will remember forever. Like, this is just, and even we're nearly a year on, people come up to Keane, oh, I've seen you on TV with Shane Larry.
Oh, really? Yeah, brilliant.
It's not like, oh, are you okay? How are you feeling? So it's had a real positive impact on him. It's brought his confidence up a level, and it's just had a real lasting effect. So it's like the wish that keeps on giving for Keane.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really
That's interesting, actually, because, you know, we're all in that situation. You see somebody that suffers a bereavement in work or something they go through, and you say to yourself, I'm not going to ask them, because everyone is asking them, how are they? But it must be lovely to have a positive thing like that people want to talk to you about, as opposed to what was the last day in hospital like, was it?
Yeah,
brilliant.
It's such a different way of people just coming up to talk to you. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's really good.
So, Keane, important question, right?
Yeah.
10th of April, Masters getting underway. Can Larry do it?
Think so,
yeah. Should I put a few quid on him?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, if people have a few quid to spare, maybe don't put it on Shane Lowry just yet. But we would ask you to donate. So makeawish.ie/donate is the website. We're going to have an updated total a little bit later in the show. So stick with us, because people have been so, so generous all day. The money has been flying in, but we need to keep it flying in to help pay for wishes like Keane's to go and meet Shane Lowry. So Gavin Norris and Keane, guys, thanks a million for coming in.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks, Keane.
Thanks.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.